In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually, and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among thy servants, of a handmaid from among thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special. a very special day. Today is Eid, a very special and auspicious day for all Muslims all around the world. Today is Eid Qurban. Congratulations to all brothers and sisters, all Muslims all around the world.
Eid Sa'id, Yom Farhan, Yom Jamil, Eid Sa'id, Eid Sa'id, Yom Jamil, Yom Farhan, Eid Sa'id. All over the world, under the big blue sky, Muslims unite to worship Allah. It's a time of brotherhood, a time of peace. Muslims are singing praises to Allah.
Today, Sunday, is the 10th of Zilhijjah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 19th of Tir, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 10th of July, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Accept our congratulations on Eid al-Adha.
باركوا يا احباب نور العيد جانا فيه فرحة نبلقاكم طيبين والسعادة بالأحبة وهم معانا عايدهم يا عساهم عايدين باركوا يا احباب نور العيد جانا.
On Eid al-Adha, Muslims may sacrifice a sheep to commemorate the Prophet. Prophet Ibrahim's willingness to sacrifice his son Ismail in obedience to Allah. This sacrifice is one of the rites of the pilgrims. People attend Eid Salah on this celebratory day. In chapter 37 of the Holy Quran, verse 102, we can read this interesting story. O my son, I have seen in a dream that I offer you in sacrifice. Now what is your view? The son said, O my father, do as you are commanded. You will find me to be one of the steadfast if Allah so wills. Again, it is chapter 37, verse 102. Congratulations to all brothers and sisters, all Muslims around the world on Eid al-Adha, Eid Qurban. Happy Eid!
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the Feast of Sacrifice. First of all, this Feast of Sacrifice in Arabic, Eid al-Adha, in English is called the Greater Bayram. And the word Bayram has been taken from the Turkish language. On the sacrifice day, or on the Feast of Sacrifice, people in Mecca sacrifice a sheep or camel. This is, of course, a ritual in Hajj. It indicates that the Hajjis try to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Historically speaking, we find that not only in the Islamic religion, but in several pre-Islamic religions, sacrificing and shedding the blood of a sacrifice animal has been a part and parcel of very solemn and serious religious customs. This sacrifice should be done according to the Islamic rules of sacrificing animals. First of all, not all animals could be sacrificed, and then when some animals are going to be sacrificed, the aim should be performing a mandatory part and parcel of Islamic rituals. According to the Holy Quran and Islamic instructions, it's the piety and the religious sincerity of the Hajis or pilgrims that count, not the flesh, blood, or other parts of the sacrificed animal that might reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never needs such sacrifices done by people. Yet we find that in a piece of instruction that Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam offered to some of his companions, the truth of sacrificing is that the hajis come to sacrifice, to slaughter all kinds of greediness in himself, and this is symbolized in the act of sacrificing an animal on the plain of Arafah. Thank you.
Children are wearing new clothes, bright colors fill the streets, their faces full of laughter, their pockets full of sweets. Let us rejoice indeed, this is the day of Eid. Let us rejoice indeed, for this is the day of Eid.
Thoughts on Eid. The Holy Prophet and our Imam celebrated Eid and encouraged all Muslims to do so. They told Muslims to wear good clothes, put on perfume, and go to the mosque to recite the Eid prayer. They also said we should exchange Eid greetings, visit each other, and generally pass the day joyfully. We are supposed to remember the poor and visiting them and sending them gifts if we can. The day of Eid is meant for remembering Allah. The Holy Prophet says, give beauty to your Eid by doing takbir. That means saying Allahu Akbar. It is said that the Prophet himself used to come out of his home on the day of Eid, reciting the takbir and glorifying Allah in a loud voice. Celebrating Eid unites Muslims. As a community, they get closer to work together to make it a memorable occasion. Eid prayers and other programs held to celebrate it allow Muslims to meet and enjoy the company of one another. Happy Eid, Happy Eid al-Adha, Eid Qurban to all Muslims all around the world.
Eid al-Sa'id, let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate. Eid Sa'id, let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate. Celebrate, let's celebrate. Allah, Allah, thank you for this day.
Doesn't killing ego mean not to act by own will, but to obey Allah? If so, how can killing a creature on Eid al-Adha please Allah? That's the question. The Holy Quran says, we have made the sacrificial animals among the symbols appointed by Allah for you. They are of immense good for you. So in the name of Allah, stand in lines. When their flanks collapse, eat from them and feed him who is counted and him who begs. In this way, we have made this subservient to you, so that you may render thanks. Holy Quran, chapter 22, verse 36. It is correct to say that the sacrifice of Eid al-Adha includes killing the ego and obey Allah, since the order of sacrifice has been given by Allah in this regard. Muslims around the world travel thousands of miles to reach Mecca and perform the rites of Hajj, spending their money, time, and energy. The sacrifice here is about sacrificing the time, money, and effort it takes to raise an animal, or if it is purchased, to pay for that, and then giving away a good amount of it. In times where people had very limited food options, or in places where many people don't have access to healthy food, this is a big service to other people.
The religion of Islam is based on symbols. The Kaaba is a symbol that reminds you of the Almighty God. The Hajj is full of symbols if you look at the rituals of Hajj and you analyze them. And also sacrificing an animal is an act that means I am willing to give for a good cause. Now, it doesn't only have to be through an animal. This is just historically a symbolic way that many people interacted with. But you look at your own era, your own society, and you see how you can help others, how you can sacrifice. By the way, I'd like to make one comment here. Today, there is a growing wave of people who are critical of the Abrahamic religions. Why do you have animal sacrifice? This goes against animal rights. You're making a poor animal suffer by slaughtering it. So how could the all-merciful God allow this to happen? And remember, this is mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does command us to sacrifice the animals. Even though Allah puts the emphasis on taqwa. لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا. Don't think that the blood of the animal is going to reach God. وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. It's the piety of the heart that reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how would a merciful Lord allow that to happen? My dear brothers and sisters, if you look at the Islamic requirements for slaughtering an animal, it is the most humane way. Islam tells you, give the animal some water. The four jugular veins, the four main veins, have to be cut with a sharp knife instantaneously. You know why that is a requirement in Islamic law? Because effectively, when the main arteries are cut and the blood is profusely gushing out, the animal becomes unconscious. Many scientists have done studies on this. They put those electrodes on the brain of the animal and they see that it doesn't feel any pain. It becomes unconscious. It doesn't feel the pain anymore. Now you could say, yeah, but you see the animal struggling with spasms. These are muscle contractions that are happening. It's a natural reflex when that much blood starts flowing. But it does not feel any pain. In fact, if an animal dies on its own, it's more painful than the Islamic way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for us. When an animal dies of old age or disease or sickness, that's more painful to it. So see the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know people today are critical of this, but this is in our Quran. And we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful.
Dear brothers and sisters, you listened to today's special from IRIB English Radio on an auspicious day, Eid al-Adha or Eid al-Qurban. May Allah accept all of your good deeds and keep us in your prayers. Fi amanillah.
Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك حجا حقا
الله أكبر الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone and our heartiest congratulations to you all on the auspicious day of Eid al-Adha or the Feast of Sacrifice. In commemoration of God's acceptance of Abraham's sincere intentions and the saving of his firstborn son Ishmael from being slaughtered. Here is a beautiful saying to contemplate upon from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. A day on which a person abstains from sin is indeed a day of Eid, or rejoicing for him or her.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we would like to offer our esteemed listeners congratulations and extend our congratulations to our listeners on this most auspicious, important, and happy day of Eid-e-Adha, or Eid-e-Qurban. As you know, this is one of the two most important festivals and happy days of the Muslims, the other being the Eid al-Fitr, the last, which comes at the end of Ramadan. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful hadith which has been narrated from Imam Ali alayhi salam regarding Eids in general, and therefore obviously Eid al-Qurban and Eid al-Adha. In particular, Imam Ali alayhi salam said the following regarding one of the festivals, meaning he said the following on the day of one of these festivals, And it was Eid, one of these festivals, and the Imam said the following on this day. Perhaps somebody came to the Imam and said, Eid Mubarak to him. Happy Eid to you. Congratulations to you, O Imam. So the Imam turned around and said the following to him. He said, verily, it is only a festival for he whose fasts Allah has accepted and whose prayers he has acknowledged. Meaning a person can only celebrate this day, in essence, the Imam is saying, whose acts of worship in the days leading up to the festival, right, were accepted by God. If it's Eid al-Fitr, if his fast were accepted, if it's Eid al-Adha, if his sacrifice was accepted, if his, you know, his prayers were accepted, if his if he was on a pilgrimage, if his pilgrimage was accepted. Otherwise, it's only a meaningless and hollow festival, a shell of what it truly should be. Right? After mentioning this kind of general rule, the Imam said something very, very general and very educational and very instructive to us. He said, and everybody's heard this hadith, he said, and every day in which we do not disobey God is a day of celebration. Right, so there's two parts to this tradition. The second part is concerned is a negative, in a certain sense is negative, in the sense that the Imam says, if we do not, in order to truly be happy and celebrative on these festivals, one should not have sinned on the days leading up to the festival. The first part is kind of positive, in the sense that he says that the actions that we do, right? The second part is concerned with the things we should not do. The first part is concerned with the things that we should do, right? The acts that we do on the days leading up to the festival, they should be wholesome spiritually, and they should have been accepted by God, right? So if these two conditions are fulfilled, then the person, right, his Eid is truly a true festival and a happy day for him. Otherwise, it's only something very superficial, right, and not worthy of truly being happy about. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the Eid and the festival in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد عجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. This is Habibullah Fasizadeh. And we are here with our brothers Sayyid Ali Nasir and Fawad Haider, Brother Hussein Musa and Brother Hussein Ruhullah. So they all are from Sevier International Schools Network and they have joined us. We really welcome them all. So, the second welcome goes to our respected brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, Hussein Musa. How are you?
I'm good.
Are you good?
Yes.
That's great. And how about Hussein Ruhullah?
I'm good also.
Good?
Yes.
Would you say salam to our brothers and sisters?
Salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I represent them, okay? Ali Nasser, how are you?
Salam alaikum, alhamdulillah.
Are you good?
Alhamdulillah, what about you?
MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, I'm good. Everyone is good, alhamdulillah. Okay. How about Fawad Haider?
Fine, are you okay?
I am okay. How about you?
I'm always okay.
Alhamdulillah, that's great.
A message from the sky, a mercy for mankind. If you lose your way, we'll always be your guide. Far greater than this world, move mountains with its words. Fixed every part of me, and put my heart at ease. And Allah knows, words heal the soul. Most beautiful of miracles. The more you read, the more you feel Allah's love with every beat.
So, brothers and sisters, thank you so much for joining us. Now, we are going to, inshallah, continue our Quranic sessions. So the last topic in the previous session we were working on and studied was about the rules of Tanween and Nun-e-Sakin. So we learned, alhamdulillah, the Izhar rule, which was to clearly pronounce the Nun sound or the Tanween sound, right?
Yes.
And later on, we started introducing the rule Idgham. Right? The rule?
Idgham.
So, there was a Persian poem I told you. Who remembers that poem? Let's review that poem, okay? So, it's all about the rules of Tanween and Nun-e-Sakin, and also another poem talking about the letters, the throat letters, okay? Tanween wa Nun-e-Sakin hukmash bidan a hushyar, right? So it means the rules of Tanween and Nun-e-Sakin. Oh, you a smart boy or a smart girl, whoever you are, understand it well, okay? Okay, Hussein Musa? Okay?
Yes.
Dar harf halq idhar kun. In Urdu we say, what do we say in Urdu? Idhar karo? Idhar karo, okay? So in, whenever you meet, okay, the throat letters, you have to apply the rule?
Izhar.
How many throat letters we had?
Seven.
One is Fawad Haider, yes?
Six.
And number seven is Fawad Haider.
We have six.
Six throat letters we had. And which were what were those letters?
Ein, Ghain, Swad, Lod.
Say the other verse of the poem.
No, I don't remember.
Hamza, Ha, Ha, Kha, Ein,
Ghain.
حرف حلقي شيش بواد أي نور عين همزة هاو حاو خاو عينو
عين.
Okay, so the six letters. So apply the rule إظهار whenever you meet. Sorry, whenever the noon or تنوين, the noon ساكن or تنوين meets what? Approaches what?
Throat letters.
Throat letters. Apply the rule إظهار. دار يرملون إدغام كون. Apply the rule إدغام whenever the تنوين or noon ساكن approaches. Yermalun letters. What are Yermalun letters? We'll discuss. Ye, Ra, Mim, Lam, Waw, Nun. These six letters. Six throat letters we have. Six Yermalun letters we have. Okay?
Yes.
And Dar Nazde Ba, Qalbi, Be Mim. Okay? It means whenever the Tanween or Nuni Sakina approaches the letter Ba, okay? The letter Ba, Tanween. Or Nun-e-Sakin plus another word starts with the letter ba.
Yes.
Here you have to change the Nun sound, the Nun-e-Sakin sound, or the Tanween sound, which are both the same. Yes.
Yes.
Nun
yes.
Sound. Yes.
You have to change it to a meme. Qalbi be meme. Okay. Change it to
meme.
Okay, Hussein Musa. Like how you produce a half meme sound, not a complete meme sound. If you change it to a complete meme sound, it means that is a meme. A meme. That's not a noon or tanween. But it is not. It is tanween or meme, okay? Or noon. Noon is akin, okay? So here you just change it to a slight or a soft meme sound. This way. Okay, that we will talk about it. Yes, Fawad Haider?
Is it possible that two rules are applied on the same time?
No. Maybe ghunna we have. Yes, ghunna. Okay, ghunna. So we studied these four rules, okay? These four rules. Now, the last rule that I will tell you, okay? Then I will answer your question. Okay, whenever you see the letter ba, okay? You have to change the tanwin or nusakin to a soft meme sound. And dar ma baqi ikhfa biyar. Okay? With the rest of the letters, so six throat letters. Yeah. Six throat letters and six yarmalun letters and one, the letter ba, iqlaq. How many letters?
13.
13 minus 28? Whose math is good?
15.
15? So with the 15 letters, okay, you have to apply the rule? Ikhfa. That's it. That's
simple.
Very simple. How many letters are there that we apply the rule ikhfa?
15.
How many letters we should apply the rule idhar?
Six.
No, six.
Six letters. How many letters we apply the rule idgham?
Six.
Six
letters. How many letters we apply the rule iqlab?
One.
6, 6, 1, 15. Okay? 13 letters. The three other rules with 15 letters. The rule?
Ikhfa.
That's very easy. وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
Your answer now. We studied the tanween. We are like doing the tanween or nun sakin rules, okay? It means one of these rules must be applied. Okay? So if there we have tanween or nun sakin plus we don't have two letters at the same time, okay, on the top of each other, okay? For example, the letter ba and the letter jim on the top of each other. One ikhfa, one iqlab, no. We don't have. We have tanween plus or nun sakin plus one letter comes, then the rest of the letters come after that first letter, okay? Like this it is. So we don't have like two letters on the top of each other, okay? Does a word start with two letters? Start with two letters?
No.
It starts with one letter and continues, yes? With
yes.
The other letters. Did you get your answer? Okay.
If we sometimes idgham, merge letters, it gives a sound of ikhfa.
Ikhfa.
Like a hiding sound when you're doing idgham.
No, it's ghunna. Look, it's the ghunna. I will tell you, okay? The ghunna is a special rule, okay? It is applied with the idgham rule, okay, Fawad? And also it is applied with ikhfa rule. Ghunna, the nasal sound. This sound. This sound is applied both with idgham and also the rule ikhfa, both of them, okay? Uh-huh. But idgham itself, ikhfa itself, iqlab itself, or idhar itself, no. We do not apply both of them at the same time on one example, okay? No. We have the ghunna rule, okay? Ghunna is applied both with idgham and also with
ikhfa.
Idgham and ikhfa, okay? That nasal sound. Okay, alhamdulillah. Now we have an introduction to all our rules. In the previous session, we finished the rule idhar and we applied it on Surah An-Nazi'at and also Surah Al-Ghashiyah. So now, alhamdulillah, you learned idhar. Now listen to the rule idgham. We will take a quick review of the rule idgham. Then, inshallah, we'll go through the Surah Al-Ghashiyah, inshallah, okay? And apply all the rules of idgham on Surah Al-Ghashiyah. Ready?
Yes.
Let's recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajam.
Okay, the rule idgham, as the word idgham says, what does idgham mean in Arabic?
Merging.
Idgham means merging, okay? Or making one. For example, you have your mobile phone and the charging cable, okay?
Combine?
Yeah. You make them one. You plug the cable
so
into the phone.
Merging.
They are connected together, okay?
Yes.
Or for example, you insert a flashcard, whatever, okay, to your laptop or mobile phone, whatever. So insert it. Yes. Idgham means insert, to insert something into something. Okay. Or to merge two things together.
Combine.
Yeah. Combining. Okay. Making them one. Or for example, look, you, we have, for example, the, we have one stuff here, okay? The other stuff here. You combine them together. For example, you change the thing on the left side to the thing on the right side. You change them, okay? This is also called merging or idgham in Arabic. Did you get it?
Yes.
That's the word idgham, okay? But when it comes to tajweed rules, idgham means to merge one letter to other letter. Okay? One yes. letter to the other letter. For example, you have the letter dal, you merge it with the letter ta. Yeah. Okay? You merge it into the letter
ta.
Ta. Okay? So dal will be changed to
ta.
Ta. Ta. We have this kind of idgham as well. We have idgham with noon, saakin and tanween. We have idgham with the other letters. We have two types of idgham. Okay? Inshallah, we'll study them. So, now we are doing idgham with noon, saakin and tanween. Okay? It okay. means we change or we merge the noon, saakin or tanween into other letters. What are those letters? Ye, ra, ma, la, wa, na. Yarmalun. These six letters. We have put them together to make a word yarmalun. Okay? So, what letters are there that we have to merge tanween or noon saakin with them? What letters? Ya, ra, ma, la, wa, na. Yarmalun. Yarmalun. So, that is the rule idgham. Idgham means to mix or to put one thing into another thing. Okay? It is the mixing or entering of a saakin letter into a mutaharrik letter following it, so that they become a single mushaddad letter. Okay? Sometimes we have meme, we have another meme. You merge them together. Oh. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Savior International Schools Network. See you inshallah.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajan.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Savior International Schools. فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
The Ocean of Dua
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
هيهات أنت أكرم من أن تضيع من ربيت أو تبعد من أدنيت أو تشرد من آويت أو تسلم إلى البلاء من كفيته ورحمت.
Brothers and sisters, as you have been previously with us, we were discussing this excerpt of the Kumail supplication. Hayhat, anta akramu min an tudayya man rabbayta. Far be it from you. You're more generous than torturing him whom you have nurtured. Aw tub'ida man adnayta. To banish him whom you have brought up. Aw tushajjida man awayta. You are far away from driving away him whom you have given an abode. Aw tusallima ila al-bala. مَنْ كَفَيْتَهُ وَرَحِمْتَهُ. Or submit to tribulation him whom you have spared and shown mercy. The mercy and blessings of the Almighty Allah have been showering upon the servants. And this reveals Allah's love for His servants. These are the signs of His love for the servants, so that the servants might love Him. But the point is that these bounties, these blessings showered up upon the heedful and intelligent hearts are only effective in getting closer to the Almighty Allah. And Imam Ali alayhi salam has taught us that supplication is among the keys of Allah's mercy. That is why he, the Exalted, says, "Ud'uni astajib lakum." Call me and I will answer you. And in fact, this is how the servants should try to attract the mercy of Allah. That it seems impossible to do this by any other means. But the point is that one should be sincere in love. And this is how love manifests itself in joining your beloved. Disjoining yourself from all other than the Almighty Allah and joining with Allah and those whom He subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and has commanded to love. These are two sides of one issue.
Oh my God, my Master, my Lord, and my Nourisher, will you see me punished with the fire kindled by you, despite my belief in your unity, and despite the fact that my heart has been filled with knowledge of you, and when my tongue has repeatedly praised you, and my conscience has acknowledged your love, and despite my sincere confessions and my humble begging submissively made to your divinity. No, indeed you are far too kind and generous to destroy one you nourished and supported, or to drive away from yourself one you have kept under your protection.
Thank you, Allah, let me hear, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Hayhat, anta akramu min an tudayya man rabbayta. You're more generous than torturing him whom you have nurtured, the one whom you have loved. Just ponder over these three means by which Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam is seeking recourse to Allah. Imam alayhi salam says, your good pleasure is my wish, vision of you is my need. With you lies the remedy of my illness, the cure for my burning thirst, and the coolness of my ardor, the removal of my distress.
Imam Zainul Abidin is teaching us the means of neediness and indigence that I assume we have discussed in a couple of programs earlier. Imam alayhi salam continues, talking about the most important thing this program is all about, the concept of supplication, the means of supplication. Imam says, your neighboring is my request. Nearness to you is the utmost object of my asking. Be my intimate in my loneliness, the releaser of my stumble, the forgiver of my slip, the acceptor of my repentance, the responder to my supplication, and the one who frees me from my neediness. Imam says that I know I am needy, I am indigent, but I have brought my indigence to you. Imam continues, you are my object, none other. To you alone belongs my waking and my sleeplessness. Meeting you is the gladness of my eye, joining you the wish of my soul. Toward you is my yearning, in love for you my passionate longing, in inclining toward you my fervent craving. And this is the means of love Imam alayhi salam mentions. One of the beautiful pieces of this supplication is this part that as a prayer has a beauty just like that of art and literature. Imam alayhi salam says, for my aspiration has been cut off from everything but you. My desire has turned toward you alone. You are my object, none other. This is what true love brings about. This inqita, or somehow cut off, involves in meaning what attachment does not. This is why Imam alayhi salam does not say, my aspiration has been attached to none but you. But he says, my aspiration has been cut off from everything but you. Because the concept of cut off entails both a positive and negative meaning. The meaning of inqita is detachment from the creatures and turning toward Allah. Detachment from the creatures is the negative significance, but the positive significance intended by Imam alayhi salam is that turning toward Allah. This sincerity is love, is what brings about anta akramu min an tudayya man rabbayta. Allah is more generous than torturing him whom he has nurtured. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Ya Allah, Ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through half my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. Thank you.
questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, everyone. Welcome to Arab English Radio. This is Asma, your humble host for today's episode, and you're hearing me from Q&A on Islamic Belief, where you could get the answers to all your questions. Well, today we have Dr. Karimi, scholar of religious studies, who will help us with the answers. Assalamu alaikum and welcome, Dr. Karimi.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. So, for today's episode, we have this question considering youth. And we know that when we bring the name of youth, when we just mention it, we remember just this zest for life and energy and so much of passions. And it is sort of very difficult to control all your passions in an age of temptation. So, for youth who's living in a modern age with so much of temptations, just lurking around him. Is there any recommendation that you could give to the youth to control himself, to have this self-control, or to not to be open to all the scenes that might, defect his clean heart, his or her clean heart?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, we need to agree that the time and era that we are living in is a very difficult one in terms of being able to control all these passions.
In terms of temptations.
Yeah. And so I know that what I'm going to say in today's session might be easier said than done.
Yes,
but
exactly.
Anyway, hopefully some of them would be of benefit
for
the listeners.
Yes. Yeah.
So my first point is related to this one, and that is the fact that the more difficult the situation is, then the more reward you will receive from God.
Mm-hmm.
So let me give you a practical example. Imagine you're living in a non-Islamic country where you see all these, open scenes on a daily basis, and compare to a person living in an Islamic or a religious community. So we cannot compare the both. Of course, if that person in that difficult situation is able to control himself and or herself, then the reward would be much more. Or in terms of the age, we cannot say that a man of like 50 years old, if he or a woman of the same age, if they control themselves, they receive the same reward as a teen.
Exactly,
or a youth.
Yes.
For sure, the reward is different. Or our time, and 50 years ago, of course, the situation is not the same.
It wasn't the same, yes.
So, for my dear listeners out there, sometimes it seems that it's too difficult, but they should come to know that if it is too difficult, then the reward is also much greater.
The more difficulty you take and suffer from, the greater the reward is.
That's the point.